And my topic is stay focused. And I took that from Proverbs 16:3, put your works into the hand of the Lord and your purposes will be made certain. The 21st century has thrown out many challenges with the growth in technology and the distractions that that brings. When we look at it for adults, there's a couple of reports on that. The Harvard University led a study that found the average knowledge worker spends 47% of his or her days in a state of semi-distraction. The Rescue Time researched that the average knowledge worker checks emails 55 times per day, on average every 8.5 minutes in an 8-hour workday, and instant message apps about 77 times per day, on average every 6 minutes, taking in an 8-hour day. And finally, the Gloria Marx study showed that on average, each knowledge worker in the study spent only 11 minutes of any given project without being interrupted. And when we look at children, they can be easily distracted as they have very active, fertile minds. There is often a tremendous amount of things going on around them when they need to focus. We have other children can be very disruptive. Friends texting during the class or during home studies. Children love to daydream, staring out the window. Not being properly nourished, especially missing out on breakfast, affects their concentration. Being sleep deprived is also one of the problems. But we also have family problems and bullying, both at home or at school. So the question is, what does this have to do with our spiritual life? In this 21st century, we face the same problems that can cause us to lose focus. If we listen to any and every voice without good judgment, we will become attracted to the views of this world and not the words of life. Advertisers know that we can be easily distracted, and so use bright colours and catchy words to show us of their products. Remember how quickly young people are attracted to certain places to eat, the newest toy. We are reminded, so be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like likewise people, making good use of every opportunity you have, because these are evil days. Don't be fooled then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, "Let your eyes be fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends." Jesus did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now sealed at the right hand of God's throne in Hebrews 12:12. We also have a great crowd of witnesses, and it's interesting that the start of this verse has wherefore, indicating that those are the heroes of chapter 11. They figuratively are looking to witness the efforts that the Christian makes to live Christ-like. They were a great example with their faith being tested under difficult circumstances, and thus were encouraged to us. Brother Russell stated, "The apostle exhorts to look backwards at the list of ancient worthies and to consider what they endured and how faithful and how loyal to God they were," in reprint 5859. We are told to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Also meant that the Jews needed to change their focus. Their focus was on the law of Moses as the way to obtain righteousness, as we read. But Israel pursued a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. They were focused on traditions and bloodlines. For this, Jesus reprimanded them, saying, "Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men," in Mark 7 and 8. And they also falsely claimed, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone," in John 8 and 33. They were slaves to sin and also to the Roman Empire, and did not have the faith that Abraham exhibited. When we look at our distractions, can be different to those of the early church had, with the Jews having to shed the Mosaic law and traditions, and the Gentiles having to shed the worship of idols. And both had to reconsider their positions in society, to come and to focus on Christ. Paul, writing to Timothy, stated, "Command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hopes not in such an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment," in 1 Timothy 6:17. This could be a challenge to the brethren who live in an affluent society, in a world where keeping up with the Joneses can be prevalent. The point is that we must balance our work life, our family life, and our life, Christian life. We cannot neglect any one of these important parts. Let us have a look at our work spiritual life balance. When it comes to work, we cannot neglect the duties that we have to our earthly masters when it comes to work. We are told, "Work hard and do not be lazy. Serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion," Paul told the Roman church in Romans 12 and 11. Again, we are told, "Whosoever refuses to work is not allowed to eat," in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. If we are capable of work, then we cannot use our service to the Christ to be an excuse to expect other brethren to sacrifice their money and resources to support us. Paul sets the example. "I have not wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that I have worked with these hands of mine to provide everything that my companions and I needed." Paul was not saying that those with means should not help to pay to cover the work or costs of printing, etc., or to help those brethren in need. For the very next verse says, "I have shown you in all things that by hard work in this way, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, 'There is more happiness in giving than in receiving.'" Next one is our family spiritual life balance. And when it comes to family life, things get complicated. If all the family is committed to serving Christ, this can in some way simplify the situation. Often though, a spouse may be disinterested. And this can also be the same with children. Some can become even hostile to your beliefs, claiming that the truth is taking away time that you should share with them. The financial needs of the family can conflict with the desire to attend the conventions at a distance or overseas, or to help the brethren in need. But Paul warns, "But if any of you do not take care of their relatives, especially the members of their own family, they have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever." in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. With the family, we need to balance the work life and our spiritual life. This is becoming more difficult for many brethren. Quoting from the Wall Street Journal, we read, the US economy has been enjoying the fastest job growth in almost four decades. Unfortunately, the inflation-adjusted wages are falling faster than they have in 40 years. Inflation runs at 8.5% in the year ending last month, while nominal wage growth is only 5.6, a decline in inflation-adjusted wages of 2.7. It's interesting, that is the same problem here, that the wages are not keeping up with the cost of living. So often this means that the wage earner must work more hours or two or even more jobs to earn sufficient money to cover the costs. We also have to fit into the mix the need for physical exercise for both ourselves and our family. We live mainly a sedentary lifestyle, and so physical activity has become more necessary for health reasons. As Paul advised, physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is valuable in every way because it promises life both for the present and for the future. The physical activity does not mean we are neglecting our spiritual life. Taking the family hiking or camping can be a great time to share the wonders of God's creation and the many blessings we receive each day. Spiritual focus. There are many in the verses in the Bible which set out where our focus should be. They're certainly great guideposts for our lives. Turning to Colossians, we are given a good start, where we are told, you have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God, keeping your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. Colossians 3, 1-2 from the Good News Bible. Here Paul points out that both our hearts and minds should be fixed on heavenly things. In this busy world, probably the best way to set your mind above is to set time for prayer, study, meetings, and conventions in consultation with the family and considering work commitments. The hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, Dawn Hymn 247A, gives us some good guidelines. It says, take time to be holy with the Lord. There may only be a few minutes during a busy times. It may be in the quiet of the evening or in the early morning before the family arises or the workday starts. The psalmist wrote, listen to my cry for help, my God and King. I pray to you, O Lord. You hear my voice in the morning. At sunrise, I will offer my prayer and wait for your answers. The next one from the hymn is says, take time to be holy and feed on his word. If we wish to be nourished from God's word, we must set aside time to read the Bible. We need to understand what God has planned, not only for us, but for mankind. It is also important to study and to prepare for the class studies. We're told, your words are found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. In Jeremiah 15 and 16. The hymn Blessed Bible also reminds us, search we may for many years, till still some new rich gem appears. In the next verse, it says, take time to be holy, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Jesus told his disciples, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus often went alone into the mountains to commune with the Heavenly Father. One example is in Luke 6 and 12. We need quiet time not only to pray, but I think more importantly, to listen for the response. The next one that we have is take time to be holy, thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Here the hymn writer realized the importance of friends, not only amongst brethren, but in the world. No doubt inspired by Jesus' words, your light must shine before people so that they may see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. It is interesting that our actions can often be a better witness than quoting scripture. Our actions should be such that the people of the world want to know why. Next one is, take time to be holy. Let him be your guide and run not before him. This brings out an interesting aspect to our focus. Do we try to run ahead of God's plan, either for us or for the world? God's plan is set out, and the expression in due time appears four times in Scripture. And in Hebrews 12 and 1, we are told, let us run with patience. That's right, patience, the race that is set before us. The Apostle John states, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. In 2 John 1 and 9. We so want the troubles of this world to end that we cannot that we can without realizing try to move God's time clock ahead of the plan. The last one point is remembering his prayer, his words. The Heavenly Father continually tells to remind his be remembering of his words, because our hearts are often bent to go our own way. When we start to lose focus, we become discouraged as we try to balance our lives. However, we must not become discouraged. Trusting in Christ and our Heavenly Father, as the psalmist states, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him in Psalm 37 and 7. Sometimes we are really struggling and we can share Jonah's thoughts with, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. The Apostle Paul had times of doubt. And with the problems of the early church, with the Jews and Gentiles arguing with him and his own physical problems, he could have lost focus, but to the Philippines he stated, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me in Philippians 4 and 13. Can we be too focused? As already discussed, focus also requires balance with our family and work life. If our meetings, we too have to make sure our focus is on a certain topic and is not to the detriment of the other brethren who may have not have the same desire, burning interest in our favourite topic. Does our focus mean that we are ignoring the setting of Scripture? We need to remember that the chapters and verses there not in the original. And often the new chapter starts with the therefore or a similar word. We have to go back to check on the reason for the verses now under consideration. Can we be so focused to lose the reason for our study? James covers this well. Do not deceive yourself by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word but do not put it into practice, you are like people who look in a mirror and see themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and at once forget what they were like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, you'll be blessed by God in what you do. And so we do have to keep our minds fixed on Christ. May the Lord add his blessing.